Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's been the message so far for you guys? I know it's been about a day and a half. What's been the kind of overwhelming theme you guys are talking about?
You know, we've had a lot of different topics, whether it was from media plans, had a great time with the ADs, talking different proposals, being able to voice some concerns of maybe things that are going on within college athletics right now, and just trying to brainstorm for the best solution and the path of what can and needs to be done, making sure that that is a collaborative approach from the ACC and the coaches and the ADs and just the conference as a whole of where we're moving towards. And it's a really good group of leaders, and I think it's been productive. We've got more to come, but I think it's been good to be able to express some of those things here, and now put into place the next step and actions as we move forward.
Sense that Jim Phillips, the commissioner, is on top of this.
He is. I know I commented yesterday, just his involvement, the time that he's willing to take. Well, there's yesterday with the coaches. Today, we had a joint meeting with ADs, all the head coaches for a few hours. We were able to hit a broad variety of topics, and he's there. He's present. He's listening and receiving, not just reading a report. And that's where in some leagues and different experiences. That's maybe the feedback he gets. But he can get a sense of the passion, the emotion that goes behind these topics that we want more clarity on, or maybe if it is a conference issue, just the opinion of where coaches stand in the moment, and then you're able to have the dialogue back and forth, and try to get different perspectives, and that's something that I think that is the mark of a great leader, and his involvement and the willingness to be a part of that is something that I respect.
That he's on that transformation committee.
I think it's big, and for him to be able to provide insight of the philosophical approach of what's being done, some of the things that might be discussed within that group, or just it just allows more into the circle of knowing what those next steps are, and we're not going to solve every issue. To be able to get insight and to add perspective, I think is good for everybody involved.
Mike Bray said that Commissioner Phillips told the basketball coaches that the Power Five breaking off or something like that is not imminent. That don't just believe everything you hear and everything you read. Was that some of the messages kind of he conveyed?
Yeah, we've heard. There's a lot of different dynamics of what could happen, where things might go. I do think it's not a secret to anyone that it is a new age in college athletics, and there's going to be some movement. There's going to be movement, in a variety of different ways. But what exactly that's going to be, I don't think anybody can specifically say. We're at a point now that if you would have said 2 years ago. Even there was a lot of topics being discussed, if we would find ourselves in this moment, with how things are, nobody would think it would have happened as fast, and some of the different dynamics that have shown up. But we are where we are, and so I think we all respect immediate perspective, but understanding that there's going to be an ebb and flow to all things here moving forward, and he's provided some insight on certain topics and possibilities, but we also know that there's a lot of other things that can change and change quickly.
Is it frustrating that Florida still has this policy where the schools can't be involved in NIL?
There's there's so many different dynamics when it comes to NIL right now. And I think you see, across the country, different states operating and, according to rules that they have, or some schools or some states that are restrictive in rules that they have. And so, for us, we are where we are, and, there's probably some good and probably some bad that goes with that. But, respecting our situation and, controlling the things that we can control, and I think it's the best course of action rather than focusing on what other people are doing, even though, it's all real.
Mike, the transformative committee's talked about putting up these guidelines for the transfer portal, maybe some dead periods. That's been kind of talked about. Is that something you would like to see, maybe to kind of maybe ease some of the tension that you guys have
when it comes to roster management? I absolutely think, and it's real easy when you talk about, guardrails and guidelines, to point to coaches and universities. I mean, I think when you look at student athletes, there's 3,600 kids in the transfer portal. And 40% of them are getting scholarships to go new places. I mean, that's unbelievable. And it's a shame, but, I think a lot of that is, because there is an open, there's an open time frame of when these guys could do that. And, it's educational for them. If it is a more, organized and thought out, sequence, these student athletes can I guess have a more educated approach to whether this is the right time for them or if there's going to be the right opportunity. And I think when a coach speaks, sometimes the public or perception is it's just from that perspective. Yeah. I was a student athlete. I was actually a student athlete that transferred in my college career. So I can see it from both sides, and for my situation, it worked out really well for me. We've had examples that Florida State of guys transferring, and it's worked out incredibly well for them. We've had guys that, you look across the country and you look at guys that have left our program that, it's not worked out well. And maybe what they thought might be a reality wasn't. And so I think by providing guardrails for the student athletes, for the universities, for the teams, I mean, I think it's something that will help in a big picture approach, but those are all things that are, I think are great discussions.
It's a conversation about getting away from two divisions and just going to one division. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Unique thing being here the last 2 years, I've been able to live in both worlds. With COVID, we had one division. I thought that there were some positives, to it. And, obviously you look back and you think, scheduling is always going to be hard. It's always going to be challenging. I think there's, when you look at divisions to be a division winner, my last institution were three straight years of winning division championships. And, the last of winning the conference championship, those were still things that were pointed to and celebrated, as you go through it. And it's, but on the flip side, getting the best two teams in the championship game is something that, is a great showcase for a conference and potentially being able to get, if we do expand, if the opportunities present themselves, to be able to get the most representation from the conference of the best teams. And that's something that you're always hopeful. And and right now, I think getting the information, that's anytime we make a change, I want it just to know that the change is going to make an impact. You can change anything that you're doing just to say that you did, but if you're not going to get the impact or a positive response to change, then why do it? And we've got some great rivalries within our league. Right now we are two divisions, and you look at the crossover games, you look at things that are a necessity. You've got the out of conference rivalries that we get to be a part of, and other schools in our league. So I think when you reflect back on that, it's about making that proper next step that's gonna promote the brand of ACC football and the teams that we have and the growth and competition that's there. So I'm very open to that next step. But I don't want to just jump in and say, yes, let's change, and it not get the desired result that's necessary. But you always need to evaluate, especially, you know, in this time of, you know, we're college football playoff, you know, media television and all the things that are important when it comes to where we're trying to go.
Mike, your team, you talked about spring. I was a good spring. You know what you guys were able to accomplish on the field for spring. This summer off season, do you plan to maybe look at the transfer portal a little bit to fill some holes? You had some guys that left that way, or do you feel like you're in a good spot right now going into?
You know, I mean, we're always going to evaluate, and I think there's there are opportunities. I mean, we have. I feel very confident in the direction we're heading. You look at the number of guys we were able to have in January, and that's really helped our football team. I mean, to be able to get 23 guys that were a part of the team. You know, 10 transfers, 13 early enrollee freshmen. We know we're going to have a handful of high school freshmen that are joining our program here this summer, and there's potential for a transfer or two, and it's also obviously we're going to evaluate all aspects. So we've got some guys that have been walk-ons within our program that we're looking at that as well, and so it's really just what's best for our team here moving forward, and feel confident in where we are, but also excited about some potential opportunities.
When will some of those high school guys be able to enroll?
A lot of it ends up to when they finish up their spring semester. We will have a group that comes in, probably trying to target that around the 1st of June. We start our summer program officially there the 26th of May. Playing week zero this year, we will be a little bit earlier. Those guys will be getting in. Hopefully by that first week, some guys will be a little bit earlier than others just because of classes finishing up.
Mike, do you feel as confident as you probably have been since you've been here at Florida State with what things have gone? I mean, with the spring and you're talking about with all the players being here.
Yeah, I mean, you grow confidence through work and experience, and we've worked, and I think you saw that throughout the course of spring. This was the first time something wasn't new, and since I've got here, and basically through that, the first 8 weeks, I mean, that was all new for them, and then COVID, and then no spring, and so being able to go through a full off-season program, spring practice, and then carry that over into this spring, you saw confidence because guys had an understanding of expectation. We were able to push harder. It wasn't all new for them, and so the same needs to be done here in the summer because this will be our first, our second summer there together, coming off of an off season. So really being able to see where that can take us, and every day is going to matter. I mean, it is. We have a great sense of urgency within our team. I mean, there's a lot of competition. We have you can look at the amount of returning production that we have, but also the amount of competition that's been added to our roster, and that's an exciting thing. And we were able to get a preview of that in a spring practice, but. It matters when we get back and we come into fall camp what that's going to look like. And so for our team and the continuity and the continued competition, I mean, this summer is going to be critical. But we do have a lot of confidence because of, the work that's gone in and the example we have from a year ago.
I know you were hoping that, this would be a good, really good offseason for Jordan to really kind of establish himself as a leader. And are you seeing signs of that throughout?
Absolutely. I mean, it is, I think that's probably one of the biggest differences within our program. Jordan is, he's an incredible, incredible young man. And, but we had yet to see that, just that confidence, because there had not been the consistency of him being the guy, of being able to go out there and consistently showcase what all he could do. And we got a glimpse of that last year. And you watched how he responded in challenging situations, and just the maturity and the growth that he's shown, what he's been able to do. I told him even in the course of the 15 practices this spring, I mean, his presence, his sense of urgency for improvement, but also just the way that he carried himself and made those around him better. I mean, that's great for our football team. And you see that really from that quarterback room. I mean, even going to Tate, which I know he's going into his third year, and but you saw his confidence was night and day from where he was a year ago, and that's a wonderful thing. And you know, when you have a freshman that comes in like AJ that's still learning everything, I mean, he jumps into that room, and it's a room where there is an example of what it should look like, and that was a big piece of Mackenzie Milton being here a year ago. I think he was able to provide a little bit of that example, you know, even though, you know, you know, that didn't just carry over to the field and the things that he was able to do, but I mean, just his presence and being that pure example was great for our football team. And I think that you know, we can talk about it as coaches, but when players get to see it, when they get to live it out in their own right, I mean, that builds that confidence within them. So I think Jordan has done a remarkable job, and you know, I'm really excited about what he's doing, not only for that quarterback room, but for our team.
Is that how you envision bringing Mackenzie in? Was that he would provide that kind of stability that maybe Jordan needed a little bit? I think
it was absolutely a part of the equation. There was still some unknowns in Mackenzie coming in, and you know, anytime coming off, you know, an injury that he had, but you know, when you looked at the opportunity of growth and you know what we're trying to build, I mean, it was something that I absolutely believed was right, and you know, there were some tremendous moments that we got to see. But you know, I think some of the biggest growth you know within our program was not necessarily even seen, you know, out there on just a Saturday, but it was the things that were done throughout the course of the week that's building for the long-term success of where we're going. And you know, you feel it within our culture, you feel it within our team. You know, it's something that is, I think, critically important, because you know, we still, that has to be established. And you know, you look through the course of Florida State football over the last 5 years, and the amount of change that's been experienced, that players have had to experience, the things that were maybe the prerequisites for what was being recruited to, how guys were going to fit, what were the characteristics that were sought after, and then what did it look like on a day-to-day basis for expectations of coaching, standard of the program, you know, how guys were going to be utilized. That's with all that change, I mean, there's just you lack what lacks is the leadership of what that example needs to be, and that's what we've really tried to establish. And continuity has been critical, you know. And even you look this year, we had a couple of coaches that you know, that had different opportunities, and you know, we were able to, because of, you know, having good people within the program, been able to promote with, you know, throughout where there is that continuity, there is that sense of understanding of expectation. So now it's, you're going to get to see our guys go out there and play fast, play with confidence, be able to take that step, and you see growth, and that's for us is critical. So you know, I'm excited about that.
Coach, are there any inherent advantages or disadvantages to starting early and playing week zero?
I mean, I think, you know, getting an opportunity to start off at home at Doak Campbell Stadium is going to be a great thing. You know, we come in week zero, it's, we got to start fast. You start fast in your summer program, you know, obviously fall camp, you know, all those things that are, you know, that sense of urgency of being able to go out there and build this team and showcase the identity of who we are and what we're going to be. You know, that's, I think, is great. And, you know, it does provide an opportunity when you look at the schedule. You know, you get through camp, which is, you know, about, you know, a 4 week period of time, you get, you know, two games and you get a bye week. I mean, that breaks it up pretty good. Then you have 5 weeks and you get another bye week that breaks it. I kind of like how that goes when you look at a structure of on and off and the importance of development and growth throughout the season. But yeah, I mean, there is an absolute sense of urgency.
How cool was the experience with Jermaine being at the draft?
I mean, it was remarkable, and you know, for all the things that we had gone through together, you know, in that little more than a year period of time, to talk about a vision from the beginning, you know, an expectation for Jermaine and, you know, what we needed. You talked about Mackenzie earlier, and you know, Jermaine brought a very similar approach, like him, Kier, ago. I told him from the beginning I wasn't looking for a jersey number just to come in. You know, we needed somebody that could come in and, you know, obviously perform and play really well, but also be an example and a leader for our team, for a lot of the young players. You look at guys like Derek McClendon, who has really stepped up and matured a lot over the course of a year. You know, Fabian Lovett, who I think is one of the leaders of our football teams. I mean, having guys like Jermaine that help support and push and elevate that was critical. And then to see, you know, Jermaine to go out there and do what he did on the field, be the defensive player of the year, in the conference, to walk as a Florida State graduate, and then to be a first round draft pick, well, that's pretty special. And you know, I think that on both sides of it, we did what we said we wanted to accomplish. And you know, there was a leap of faith on all sides for what we could expect. And you know, for that young man, it paid off. And for our program, I think it's going to absolutely pay off for the long term in what it meant to both sides. And because I'll never forget after he got his name called, you know, seeing the joy from his family and you know, when he starts to walk up to go to the stage and you hear his family start doing the war chant, yeah. That was incredible to me. And you know, because now, from now until forever, he will be a Florida State Seminole, and this program left a mark on his life and his family, and he left his mark here at Florida State. So I thought it was really, really special. All right, guys.